Nicodemus comes to see Jesus at night time. And there are lots of reasons why people have suggested that it was the time in which rabbis would sit down and talk with their disciples, and that maybe Nicodemus felt it was an appropriate time to go see Jesus. There are lots of reasons potentially why it was at night. Maybe it genuinely was simply that he didn't want anybody to see him going to Jesus. But Jesus really opens up with all barrels blazing with Nicodemus. And I think we have to have a little look at why. Jesus firstly says to him that his ethnicity doesn't cut it. Now, you've got to understand, for the Jews, being a Jew set them apart, because by birth they had a special relationship with God. Now, we know from the Bible that very few of them seem to enter into that relationship. But they grew up with this sense of superiority, that they were the people who had God. No one else had access to God. So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You've got to be born again, Nicodemus. You've got to be born again," he was challenging Nicodemus's ethnicity. He was saying to him, "You think you, because you're a Jew, you have one up on the rest of everybody else, but here am I, a Jew, saying to you, you must be born again." And what does born again actually mean? Well, we have to recognize there's a difference here between, as Nicodemus recognizes, between being born again by climbing back inside your mother, which even Nicodemus recognized wasn't a doable thing, or whether it means something spiritual, which of course is what Jesus was on about. There are some wonderful plays on words in this chapter that you can see in the Greek that aren't necessarily so obvious in the English translations. But when Jesus is saying that you must be born again, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he says the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The word Spirit and the word wind are exactly the same word in Greek. So it's the word pneuma, from which we get our word pneumatic, so you can instantly know how it's spelt. Pneuma is simply spirit, wind, or breath, if you're a Greek-speaking person. Or ruach, if you're a Hebrew-speaking person. And amazingly, in Hebrew language, it means the same three things: breath, wind, spirit. And what Jesus is challenging Nicodemus on is, just because you are Jewish, it doesn't mean that you automatically get renewed by the Spirit. In fact, if we were to talk about a word that we understand in English, the idea of getting converted, conversion is an idea that is alien to the Jews, because they don't need to be converted, because they're Jews. They have God. And so they look upon it as a racial imperative. So when Jesus says to him, "You must be born again," he is challenging his feeling of superiority, his feeling of racial superiority. He's challenging that and saying, "Nicodemus, that will not cut it with me. It won't. It doesn't cut it with God. You cannot get to God just because you're Jewish. You have to come by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit blows where he pleases. And we need to be where the Spirit is blowing." you know, Abraham, the father of the Jews and the father of all who have faith, so the father of the Christians as well, Abraham had to develop a personal relationship with God. We see as Abraham meets God, Abraham comes from a pagan background, probably worshipping the sun and the moon, and he all of a sudden encounters a God who speaks to him. And he has to learn along the way what this God wants from him, what this God's demands are on his life. And he also has to receive promises from God along the way. And he is the one who finds out the power in being willing to give your son and then finding that God did not want human sacrifice, but he himself provided a sacrifice. And you know what's really amazing about that story about Abraham? It takes place on Mount Moriah, which is the mountain where Jesus was crucified. You know, it's not just a metaphor. It's not just a picture. It's like an action replay. It really is powerful that God did on Mount Moriah what Abraham was never actually asked of. God never asked him to give his son in that way. But God did send his son. And always remember that when Abraham was climbing Mount Moriah, not quite knowing what was going to happen at the top, on the other side of the mountain, a ram was climbing. And Abraham couldn't see the ram until he got to the top. And that's the thing about God. Sometimes we can't see God's provision until we need it. And that's what it would be like for us with a building. You know, sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes it's been a stress point in my life in this last 12 months. But do you know what? We don't need it till we need it. But when we do need it, God will provide. The second thing that Jesus challenges Nicodemus on is he challenges him on his teaching. And he says to him, Nicodemus, your teaching doesn't cut it. Now, why does he do that? Well, it's very specifically says, are you a teacher and you don't know these things? Nicodemus was a man of high standing in his religion and in his community. And men like that were teachers. It was a simple fact. Elders taught you, and Nicodemus taught people. And Jesus really challenges Nicodemus at the heart of his life and says, Nicodemus, not only does your race not cut it, your teaching doesn't cut it. And, you know, thank God for the Jews. Remember the scripture says salvation is from the Jews. And we thank God for the Jews. But Nicodemus was getting challenged on a personal level in the very heart of himself. And one way was that his teaching was challenged. A member of stature in the community, a man who taught those around him, a man who taught them about God. And Jesus was saying to him, Nicodemus, you're missing the point, Nicodemus. And how sad it is that sometimes I wonder if Jesus is asking his church today, I wonder if Jesus is challenging us, saying, what about your teaching? It's so sad that in some churches today, the message of the gospel will not be preached. They'll sing some nice songs and they'll do some nice stuff. But ultimately, the church of Jesus is here to preach the gospel, to reach the lost, to encourage those that are bowed down, to lift them up, to be there for the widow and the foreigner and for the orphan. And all of these things we are supposed to be here for. But really, are we? And I would encourage you to rise in your heart and say, yes, Lord, I want to be counted as one of these people who will rise by your Spirit and be renewed by your Spirit. So my third point is this issue of flesh versus spirit. When we are born, we enter a kingdom of flesh. That means I can pinch myself, and that hurt actually, so I'm not going to do it again. When we enter the kingdom of flesh, they don't do it anymore, but they used to slap your bottom and then you would cry and they would know you were all right. But they don't do that anymore because we're much more civilized. But the flesh born, Jesus says in John 8:44, are the children of the devil. And that is very challenging, isn't it? Jesus is saying, when you are born into this world, you are children of the devil. And you say, But that's what Jesus says. And we have to realize that those that are born of the Spirit, that are born again, or born from above, depending sort of how you want to interpret that, those people are like Jesus. Those people have a relationship with God. Nicodemus, like most of the Jews, interprets what Jesus says physically, not spiritually. That's why he says to Jesus, "What, can I climb back in my mother and be born again?" And that's why in chapter 6, they say, when Jesus is talking about bread and wine, they say, "We can't eat your body." He's talking about a spiritual eating of his body, a spiritual consuming of his blood. But they don't get that because they take things very literally. They take things very physically. And we need to recognize what God is saying, what Jesus is saying. So when Jesus is saying you must be born again, he's saying you need to come to me and you need to be reborn. You need to have a new experience of life, which only I can give you. And that's what Jesus offers. And so we talk about born-again Christians, as if there was any other type of Christian, really. But the truth is that we all need to recognize that Jesus wants to activate his Spirit within us and wants us to meet him in the spiritual plane and there to know his reconciliation and peace with God. And this is the truth of the gospel. You see, it's about us getting right with God. And only Jesus offers that. Jesus says, also in John's gospel, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." There is no other way to God other than Jesus. You can come up with some very good ways. You can come up with some very good sounding ways. But actually, Jesus says he's the only way. And I would suggest to you, it is better for us to accept what Jesus says than to listen to other people. So, my fourth point is that the solution is too easy. Some people say, "I don't know how I can connect with God. I don't know how you talk about Jesus in such a real way. I don't get it. It doesn't work for me." But actually, Jesus tells us here, by use of a metaphor, he says in verse 14, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the incident in the wilderness when the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, they're in the wilderness, walking towards the promised land, and suddenly they are struck by a plague of snakes. People are getting bitten, and they are dying. And what God tells Moses is, he says, "Make a bronze snake, stick it up on a huge pole, put the pole in the center of the camp." And that means that if anybody can see that, All they have to do is look at it, and they will be healed from their snake bite instantly. Now, that is so fair and so easy. It isn't that if you've got a degree in snake bites, you can get a healing. It isn't that if you have a lot of money that you can put in the offering box this week, special dispensations received gladly, if you can put a lot of money in the offering, then you can be healed. It isn't that if your mum and dad are really involved in this church, you can get a special deal. It isn't that if your mum and dad know the Archbishop of Canterbury that you can get a special deal. It's not about who you are or who you know. It's not about how much you have or how clever you are. It's simple. All you've got to do is look up. And Jesus says in this chapter, telling Nicodemus about how he will die, he says the Son of Man's going to be lifted up, just like the snake was. And you won't have to look at a snake anymore. You can look at me. And all you've got to do is look at Jesus. And you say, well, it can't be that easy. Yes, it is. It is easy because God is fair. This coming weekend, we've got our one event in one day on Saturday at the Lincolnshire Showground. We can't get the 11,000 people together this year. We're going with 4,000, a bit of social distancing. It's all going to be outside, so pray that we get good weather. It's from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. It's going to be a really good day. But the times me and Pauline have been there, and we've seen groups of kids who have got great levels of disability. And you see them with their hands in the air, praising God. And I have often been incredibly moved by the way these kids engage with Jesus. How can they look just like the rest of us do when we're worshiping? It's because they have the same Jesus. And it's because you don't have to be acutely developed in your intellect to know Jesus. I've got a degree in theology. I've got 2,500 books in my office that I am very fond of and don't want to be separated from for long. But that doesn't give me any advantage, because God is fair and he wants people who don't have the advantages that some of us do to receive him as Saviour, to be born again. He wants us to have a relationship with God. And it's all about relationship. It's not about having some fandangled black surplice that you wear in church. It's not about how you know the tunes to 1,000 hymns. You know, it's not about any of those things. It's about, do you know Jesus? Jesus is really poking his finger at Nicodemus' life where it hurts. And he's saying to him, Nicodemus, you can't claim just because you're Jewish you've got God. Nicodemus, you can't claim because you're a teacher that you're teaching it right. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And that has to be by the Spirit. It needs to be a new experience. It needs to be a new relationship. That's the way to God. Some people say, well, that's just too easy for me. Now, if you said to me, if I do this, if I'm very, very good, then... But that isn't the way. Because thank God, he doesn't require us to be very, very good. Because if he did, I don't think there'd be any of us in his kingdom. Because the truth is, not many of us are very, very good. Jesus accepts all. And particularly if you read Luke's gospel, you'll see some of the absolute dregs of society were the people that Jesus hung around with. Why? Because they were listening to him when the religious Jewish people weren't. But those people were hungry and wanted God, and so he was seen amongst them. When Naaman the Syrian was sent to the prophet Elisha because he had leprosy. And the king of Syria had sent him to Israel. Go to the prophet there. I've heard that he does miracles. And Naaman stands outside the prophet's house, and the prophet doesn't even come out to him. He just sends a messenger saying, go dip yourself in the river seven times and you'll be clean. And Naaman is incensed. He said, well, that's simply not good enough. Now, if you'd said I could do this, I would do that. I've brought donkey's load of silver with me. I've brought fantastic robes that I could pay for this thing, fantastic clothing. And we know it has because he did, because he goes on and does something with them. But Naaman almost misses out on his miracle until his servants say to him, look, master, if he'd said do something magnificent that only you could do, you would have done it. So why not just do what he says? And so Naaman dips himself in the river seven times, and he comes up pure and clean and free from this disease. It was so easy because it needed to be done whether Naaman had money or he didn't. And that's why Jesus makes salvation easy for us. My last point today is God's motive. And I just have to say to you, God's motive has always been his love for us. He gave his one and only son. And in this chapter, in this portion that we had read, is the best known verse in the Bible. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel in a nutshell. If you're laying down with a snake bite, you can just cock your head to one side, see the snake on a pole, and you're healed. If all you can do is call out the name of Jesus, he will hear you and save you. What does save you mean? It means he will make you safe. Make you safe in this world, safe from the power of sin, safe from the power of the devil. And let's just remember, we have a good God, but we do have a very bad devil. And Jesus is there to deliver us from the power of the evil one. God loves us, and he has given us a spirit of reconciliation so that we can share this good news, so that we can all receive. This was the message that Jesus was bringing to Nicodemus. He wasn't just having a go at him. He was trying to get him to think differently so that he could receive the good news. And we know, because when Jesus died, Nicodemus was there. We know that Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea with the body. You know, there is so much that Nicodemus was involved in. I'd like to think that Nicodemus was probably there on the day of Pentecost too. And I my heart believes within me he was filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues. This was a great change brought about in the life of Nicodemus. It was brought about by listening to Jesus and doing simply what he said. Would you pray with me now? I just want to suggest to you today, if you've never, ever made peace in your heart with God, if you've never called on the name of Jesus, then why not do it now? Just whilst everyone's head is bowed, why don't you just call out to Jesus quietly? You don't have to make a noise. You don't have to draw any attention to yourself, because Jesus will respond to the cry of your heart. But cry out now to Jesus and receive from him. Father, I just pray for each and every one in this room, that we might all know our Jesus, that we might all know our God, that we might all have a real relationship with him, that we might know powerfully what it means to be saved by God, to be born again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Percentage